Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. We've got just a lot, in spite of a lot of other stuff going on, we also have a lot going on tonight with tonight's broadcast. So if you clearly will give us these 60 minutes, we can assure you that it will more than likely prove to be beneficial to you with tonight's story, particularly with tonight's story. This is a story that you really want to pay close attention to. We're not going to prolong things, but I do believe that there's a good chance that you will really like tonight's broadcast. We're coming to you live from South Florida. In spite of everything that's going on out there, we know that we're hoping that you all are staying safe and, practicing your social distancing. Unfortunately, there's a big spike in things that's going up, and it's causing some discomfort, and amongst other things, it's causing problems for our country. I think that we have to do our part and exercising safety measures for ourselves as well as for our families. And I think that that becomes very, very important to do. And I think that when we do our part, that's pretty much all we can do, is to do our part. And we leave the rest up to fate, and it's up to the powers that be, and it's up to God, who has everything in his hands. So we don't know why things are the way that they are. We don't know who's to blame or what, speculate on things. But nevertheless, I think it becomes important to try and do the best we can. All right, tonight's topic, could you be lonely? Could you be lonely and miserable, but pretending otherwise? Could you be lonely and miserable, but pretending otherwise? That's a serious thought. I mean, we're talking about two things here, loneliness, and we're talking about being miserable. So we're going to find out tonight. We're going to we're waiting for my host to press 1 to call in. And so she'll be joining us, Ms. Camilla Croft. As soon as she press 1 on her down, we will bring her in. And I want to give you, all lonely and pretending otherwise. And I want to give my response to that, and then I'm going to bring the response in and ask her. And I say, yes, you certainly can be lonely, and you can certainly you can be lonely and miserable, and you can be pretending otherwise, because there's a lot of people out there. I strongly believe that there's a lot of people out there who are lonely, and I believe they are miserable inside having a relationship. And I just think that they're, for whatever reason, whether they're desperate to have a relationship, whether they don't want to be alone, whatever the factors are, I think that people are out there, they're probably lonely and they're miserable in that relationship. And for whatever reason, they just don't let it go. but they will call someone and talk to them about it. And if you're not careful, they will dump on you that issue for years. And you find yourself, and you know, you're, of course, thinking that you're a good friend, a true friend, but they're actually dumping on you. And are you really helping them? You know, that becomes the question, are you really helping them? But I don't think that you are. When somebody is out there and they are having these problems for years and you're subjecting yourself to just call yourself being that friend, and unfortunately, it still goes on for another 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, then, you know, you're not really helping that person. You're actually enabling them, and they need to get some type of professional help. Let's bring Ms. Frost in. Ms. Frost, welcome to tonight's show. It's good to have you, as always.
Good evening, everyone. I hope everybody is out there safe. And Dr. Walker, I know you were talking about, you know, remaining safe. So I hope everybody is adhering to that and hope everyone's well today.
Yes, yes. Ms. Ross, go ahead and give your commercial, and then I want to go to 954-826 and bring them in and welcome them in as well.
Well, guys, I am Camila Cross. I am a master's level social worker. I'm also the founder, CEO of Your Worth LLC, which is an anger management company where I do assist people who are court-ordered, employee-ordered. Just, you know, if you feel like you're struggling with conflict resolution, anger management, you know, I do assist in that realm as well. You can definitely call me, text me. I'm at 954-825-8500. You can also email me. My email address is yourworthllc@gmail.com. You can check out my website. I'm at www.yourworthispriceless.com. I'll be more than willing and happy to work with you guys.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Let's go to the phone line. Let's just peek in here. Before we go to tonight's story, let's just take a look. We're going to go to 954-826. Who do we have that will be joining us tonight?
This is James, Dr. Walker. How you doing?
James, thank you. I'm doing well. James, thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a great show. And before I go to the story, let me ask your opinion, if you don't mind giving it to us. Could a person actually be lonely and miserable but pretending in their relationship? What do you think?
I think they can, but I think that those two things get to a point where they can't, like, pretend anymore, because somebody sees the actions, somebody sees the demeanor, and they can only pretend to be those things for too long, because they're two toxic things that eventually is going to show outwardly.
Okay, all right. So the two toxic things that will show outwardly. Do you think a lot of people pretend, let's say a lot of people, friends have been a lot of people who go to church, they can pretend to be one way in church, but then behind closed doors at home, I mean, they really, it's almost like they can't stand each other. Have you ever experienced couples like that in church particularly or otherwise?
Oh, absolutely. We always talk about, oh, man, you know, those two people, look at, they seem to have a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then somebody says, yeah, but you don't know what's going on behind closed, behind the doors.
Right.
And
right.
So we never know, you know, people look good. And then, you know, you can go through life and somebody said, oh, did you know, so-and-so got divorced? What? Them? They got divorced? Mm-hmm. They seem so happy. So people pretend all the time.
They do. They really do. James, we're so happy that you're joining us tonight, and we're hoping that you're staying safe. We're going to take a moment now and go right to tonight's story. If it will, the computer will let me in there. We're working from two different computers tonight. All right, here we go. Tonight's characters are, who are tonight's characters? Jimmy and Kelly. And, of course, you know, I want to say that these stories are all inspired by true stories. The names are always changed to protect the innocent. So if you hear a situation that might be similar to yours, of what you might be going through. Trust me, it's just coincidental because we're not talking about anybody or their story. It just so happened that we're mentioning this over the air. These are all inspired by true stories over a compilation of years of different situations and circumstances that have come on board. So, again, if you hear a situation that seems similar to your situation, it is only coincidental, and it is not, it has no intentions of being anything that's yours or someone that you know, perhaps, because what you're going through, I can assure you, there are millions of other people going through the same thing. So you're never alone in your crisis. Ms. Cross, let me just bring you back in just for a second. James is going to actually stand by. Ms. Cross, do you think that because one individual or couple is having a problem, that they're unique? Or wouldn't you agree that there's millions of people having that same type of issue or problem?
You know, it's funny because I think that when we're in the situation, we think that it's such a unique situation, but you're right. There are definitely other individuals that are experiencing what you're experiencing. A lot of times I have this thing to where I believe that a lot of things that we experience are for other people, because you'll meet someone and they'll tell you the story that sounds so similar to yours, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I get why I went through that, because you can. And yet, what I do is I lean it to help the other person with how I handled it. So I definitely have experienced it. I've witnessed it in my own life and other people's lives. That yeah, we do experience a lot of similar things.
Right. So do you think that people should, if they hear somebody talking, sometimes at work, they may hear their coworkers talking about something, and they tend to think that their coworkers are talking about them. And so, but the coworker is not even thinking about them. It's actually that they're talking about someone else, and the circumstance that the coworker who thinks they're talking about them has a similar situation, and they find themselves getting offended at that coworker. I mean, how crazy is that?
No, I actually think that's, I don't think it's crazy. I think that when we're going through things, it's in the forefront of our brain. So if you hear someone around you that says something that's similar to your situation, we do have as human beings, we do tend to internalize things. So if I hear a story that is similar to mine, I'm going to, you know, you will internalize and say, wow, is that about me? I'm not saying you should react to the situation. I think that's when, you know, it's not about what you go through, it's about how you handle it. So I don't think you probably have to give a reaction, but I think naturally and normally, you know, we do try to find some type of, you know, kind of relation to the world and the things in the world. So naturally, we kind of do that for the good and the bad. So naturally, if you hear something that pertains to your life, you're going to, you know, your antennas are going to go up because it's very, you know, you're going to be very receptive to what's being said.
All right. Excellent point. Just before we go to tonight's story, let's go and peek in on the phone lines once again. Let's go to 754-244. Who do we have on the air, and welcome?
This is Sister Claudia. This is Claudia Burke.
Oh, all right. Sister Claudia, thank you so very much for joining us. Let me just, while I catch you on the line, let me ask you quickly your opinion on, could a person be lonely and miserable in their relationship, but pretending otherwise?
You know what? I think it happens every day.
Okay, it happens every day.
You know,
okay.
Some of us are natural pretenders, and some of us are naturally happy-go-lucky people. So even though we're going through a circumstances, we can just brush it off and be happy.
Okay.
And then when we go back home, we deal with it, right?
Okay, yeah. Right.
So I can be like a testimony right now, because I was in a bad relationship, and I am just naturally a happy girl. I'm a happy-go-lucky person. So I'm
right.
Not going to allow you to cramp my style, but it doesn't mean that whatever you do or whatever is happening might not affect me and might not become overwhelmed times, but because of my personality, the minute I walk out my door, I'm free. So you could not tell that I'm going through something because I am me when I'm out. And then the minute I turn the corner and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to go back to this house again and this, you know, then
right.
reality hits me and then I have to deal with the foolishness. But then you have some people who that's really not their personality. They can't come, they can't be happy for nothing. But they come out and they make the man look good. They make whoever is whatever look good. I don't play that look good thing because I'm straight. So I don't try to make someone look pretty. You might not know that something is going on in my house because I am not wearing it on my face or in my attitude, but I'm not trying to make the culprit look good either, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
so
then you have...
Go ahead.
Yeah, but then you have other people who really are straight miserable, unhappy, and then they pretend to be otherwise and also make the people who are making them uncomfortable, put them on a pedestal and make them look good. And I think it's just wrong. Just find help somewhere along the line, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Squad, we're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can also catch us on the website, drjessewalker.com, drjwalker.com, or drjessewalkerinc.com. Any of those three will get you into the website. You can listen. You can also listen to this show in its entirety 20 minutes after we conclude the broadcast. Tonight's characters are Jimmy and Kelly. And tonight's topic is, could you be lonely and miserable but pretending otherwise? Jimmy and Kelly were childhood sweethearts who grew up in the same neighborhood. Their families mutually felt they would eventually grow up and get married. This, of course, was also wishful thinking on their parents and family's part. Now, Jimmy and Kelly did grow up and marry shortly after both graduated from their respective colleges. They did not start a family right away because for some reason they realized they were having marital issues right off the bat. Now, they've been married now for 4 years, and things seem to be getting worse. They hide their issues from both families. They hide their issues from both families because because they are ashamed to let either side know the truth about their lonely and miserable marriage. Now, so they do a lot of pretending when they are with family and amongst friends. Now, Jimmy came home from work after a frustrating day and decided it was time to have a heart-to-heart talk with his wife, Kelly. Well, little did he know, Kelly was ready to have the same talk with him because she had reached out of her limits of pretending in an unhealthy and unhappy marriage. Now, with feelings of uncertainty and desires to spare her feelings, Jimmy is struggling to find the right words to say to express how unhappy he is. And he knows she is not happy either. Now, the talk commenced as they both disclosed information about their respective college days and actually revealed information on someone from their college life whom they had other interests in. Surprisingly, they laughed about it, but had secretly kept in touch with those individuals of interest whom they obviously shared more in common with. Now, their conversation went very well because they have been best of friends since early childhood, of course. They also realized that they have spent most of their lives together and did not have the opportunity to experience relations or get to really know other people to see if they may have had more compatibility and chemistry. This did not happen until they attended different colleges. Now, here's the strategy that their conversation concluded with. Number one, they decided to be honest from here on out in expression of their true feelings. That's good. Number two, they decided to tell their respective families the truth as opposed to pretending anymore. Number three, they decided to separate as opposed to divorcing right away. And number four, they decided to give themselves at least a full year of separation to see if they were really, if they are really meant to be together, see if there was going to be that chemistry or that compatibility that would come back together. So they decided to give it a full year. Number five, they agreed to date other people but protect themselves at all costs. Number six, they agreed to minimize their conversations with each other as friends. Number seven, Jimmy agreed to move out of their apartment and find some other place to live. Okay, he agreed to do that. And number eight, they agreed to not have an expectancy or dependency on each other for anything unless there was an absolute emergency that required the spouse to be there. Now, it's been 2 months now since their separation, and to no surprise, they appear to be happier without any misery, even though they find themselves thinking about the other one from time to time. Nevertheless, they refuse to give in and call and insist they will give it a full year. They will not call each other. The good news from this is they feel better because they no longer have to pretend to family or friends. Ms. Cross, I start out with you again tonight, and I ask you this question. Could their separation of this one full year be, in fact, a reality? Could that be a reality?
If it can be or if it is, it's actually their reality now. I think that based on the terms that they've come to, I just don't see how this relationship can stand a year. That time frame that they're giving, I'm sure it's a time frame that they came up with, but if you're within a year, you're not communicating with each other, you're not developing, you pretty much have stopped in developing that relationship, it's already over, because we already know as soon as they start dating other people, which they've agreed to do, somebody else may look more favorable. A whole year in a marriage with no communication, with limited, with no type of building on that relationship, what is the point of the separation? You know, I just think, you know, maybe give it 3 months and then call it quits. Like, I don't see why they're prolonging what seems like it's going to be the inevitable. Because, with them, it's not that they're trying to build something and see how that goes, or, let's try to start over, let's try to, learn who we are separately but still kind of evaluate how we are together. No, they've cut the whole togetherness off. So I just, I'm not being judgmental, not really, but I just don't see why the time frame is the year, because they've already, just kind of going down the list. I do think that transparency and honesty in a relationship is definitely what will build a relationship. It's not always easy to do. Everybody has a past, but I think that those are the relationships that withstand, all the things that come about in a relationship. But if they're going to be dating other people, minimizing their conversations, not living together, not really expecting or depending on each other, that's a part of a relationship. Like, that's a part of building a relationship. Now they're building relationships with someone else. So I just can't foresee this couple lasting.
Right. All right, Ms. Cross, we're going to ask, stand by. James, we're going to bring you in. I mean, if the shoe doesn't fit, you must acquit. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. If the shoe doesn't, how do you feel about this separation, James? I mean, is it a good idea, bad idea? What? I mean, all they've known is each other all their lives until they went to different colleges and met somebody there that they really kind of bonded to and secretly kept in touch with them.
I go back to what I say and to what I have gone through is, am I saying is this, you can't fix a boat from across the harbor.
Okay.
They were doing good right up until the point where they, number one, like he said, separated for a year. And number two, like the rules had nothing to do with them working on each other and working on themselves and working together as a couple to fix what was wrong, to, date each other, to, discover their passion again. Their rules were, let's see other people and let's not have contact. Well, that's not going to work, because if you even think about trying to go back, the only thing that you're going to think about was, was I hated it there. I was miserable there. So they're not building on anything positive to work in their mind to come back to. They are, like you said, establishing with other people, meeting other people, and I've gone through that. That's failed. I don't believe in separation. I'm not judging. That's just my from my belief. But once they decided to not work on their relationship and not to date each other exclusively and discover each other, it's not going to work. It can be 2 months. It can be a year. But once you don't have those things in place and can't do this with your own mind, you have to get professional to tell you how to separate, to sort of help you set like the rules and boundaries.
Okay. All right. Let's go to, we're going to go, James, we appreciate that thought. We're going to ask you to stand by. In fact, actually, they weren't doing so well in the marriage prior to making this strategy and coming up with this. They were miserable. They were lonely being married, and they were miserable, but they were pretending otherwise. Let's go. It's an unusual phone number. It's 11111. Who do we have on the line?
Miss A.
Mr. A, thank you for joining us, Mr. A. Mr. A, give us your thoughts on this here. Could anything good come out of a separation as opposed to getting divorced?
Well, I guess it depends on the maturity level of the relationship. But getting back to the topic at hand about how portray this image and their miserable inside, how they portray this image of being having a lovely relationship, but it's really miserable. We have an invention called social media that people are perpetrating all kind of, I would say, false relationships. For example, I know one couple that, you know, they put all these images, I'm here, I'm there, but I know deep down inside they're miserable with each other. But they put this image out because of the invention of social media. You can make anybody believe what you want to believe.
So... And you know the truth. You know the truth about that couple.
The truth. Exactly. Going as far as to send yourself flowers on Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow.
This is
your job.
That is
amazing.
Come on,
we know
amazing.
People like that. Let's not be like it's not realistic.
I know quite a few of them, and I share that with you as well. Because they're always, those are some of the ones that are posting everything on social media, and I agree with you.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, they want to be wished this happy anniversary, and it's not really a happy anniversary. And you got couples out there that are pretending, and some of these couples, unfortunately, they don't even live together. You know,
well,
they don't
exactly.
even live together because they can't get along living in the same house. And that was even before coronavirus.
But
so,
if you buy into the social
say,
media, you think they are happy.
Oh, absolutely. 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 And then everybody will say, what a lovely couple. We're going to ask you to stand by. This is Claudia. We're going to bring you in. If you'd like to speak on tonight's broadcast, press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear your comments because we're going to ask the question next. Was this a good idea for married couples to separate and agree to date other people? Sister Claudia, let's bring you back in. And, I mean, at least, I can see the good that comes out of this. They realized that they've been together all their lives. They only know each other until they went to college and met different people. I see the good where they're saying, let's not divorce. Let's mutually, how can two walk together unless they mutually agree, the Bible says. Let's mutually agree to separate and lose contact for this year unless it's an absolute emergency. And see where it goes from there. Sister Claudia, what are your thoughts? I mean, really, I think this is great.
Well, as you say, two cannot walk unless they agree. That's what the word says, right?
Right.
Compatibility plays a very great part into any relationship. I don't matter how holy you are, if you're not compatible with your spouse, is going nowhere. And the idea of them parting for a year, it's over. Out of sight, out of mind.
Mm.
Out of sight, out of mind. If I am going on with my life and I'm happier than I ever was with you, why would I want to come back to you?
Absolutely.
I left you for a reason. Uh-huh. I agreed to be separated from you for a reason. So if I'm being much more happier than I was living with you, why would I want to come back to you? It's over. So So a D like that is like a death sentence.
Uh-huh.
I could see 3 months, maybe six, but a year while you're dating. Mm-hmm. And that is like mm-hmm. putting salt into the wound. Dating on top
wow.
of it, dating other people, that's crazy.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's like, that's marital suicide right there.
Okay.
So such a treatment is crazy. I don't agree
all right.
at all.
Sister Claudia, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to phone lines. Once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, 347-857-1769. And if you all haven't heard, we're going to go to North Carolina in a moment, 919-272. In case you haven't heard, we have a newsletter that comes out with all of these stories that are inspired by true stories for less than a cup of your favorite coffee, $2.50 a week. And you can subscribe to these letters. And in there, I give my professional food for thought. It's just my opinion on things, but it's a professional opinion that I'm giving. So for $2.50 a week, I mean, that's a whole lot less than what you would pay if I did one-on-one consulting with you. So $2.50 a week, if you want more information about that, you can certainly give me a call at my office, go to my website. Any of those things will get you through. Let's go to North Carolina. We're already halfway through tonight's broadcast. We've got about 28 minutes before we bring it to close. Let's go to North Carolina, 919-272. Who do we have on
oh,
here?
Okay,
well,
briefly, yes, this is Christy, briefly, because I have to make it into a store before 8 o'clock.
Okay, Christy, Christy, briefly. Okay,
I
is that your last name,
agree.
Briefly? Is
no,
that your
Christy,
last name, briefly?
No, I'm saying brief. No, I'm saying briefly, I'm going to just make a statement, and I'm going to hang up.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I agree with everybody. How in the world could they have what they call a marriage if they decided to separate after, you know, for a year and then see each other? And just like the lady just said, hey, if they agreed mutually to separate and see other people, then that's over. So, and if they didn't work on, now it would be different if they say, okay, we'll and then we'll work on our relationship, okay? But
uh-huh.
if they agreed to separate and then start dating other people, what kind of marriage is that, okay? That's no
right.
marriage. I'm sorry. And I doubt if they try to get back together, why would they get back together when they can start dating other people and they probably found somebody better than what they had?
Okay, that's
they,
an interesting point.
Like I said, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Not to me, it doesn't.
All right. Christy, we appreciate that. And I know that you were going to be brief, and we appreciate it. If you can rejoin us, you are welcome to, by all means. Thank you so very much. Let's go now.
No problem.
Ms. Frost, let me bring you back in, Ms. Frost, and ask this question. I mean, sometimes it's been said that sometimes you got to lose in order to gain. Sometimes you have to lose in order to gain. So, I mean, how would they know? I mean, I can really see something good in this. It's like, okay, let's split. We've been together all of our lives. We know each other's ins and outs, but we just weren't, the chemistry wasn't there, the compatibility wasn't there. But then, you know, you start dating other people, and then you realize that, wow, you know, Kelly didn't do things like this. Jimmy didn't do things like this. I've dated 3 or 4 different people now, and I'm missing him. I'm missing her, you know. And, I mean, sometimes that losing in order to gain can make a relationship even more powerful. Ms. Cross.
For a whole year, though? Like,
yes.
You have
yes, some people
split
up for yeah, but some people have even divorced for years and then found themselves coming back together. Not it doesn't always work out, but they did.
You know, I just feel that the only thing they're going to lose is each other, and they're going to gain a new man or a new woman because it's not as if they're separating, but there's no communication. Like, they've already made the decision that you don't call me unless you really, really, unless it's an emergency. Like, if somebody tells me don't call me unless it's an emergency, I'm not calling you, you know? So
right.
I think their terms just do not work with being able to be together. You know, I kind of wrote it down. It was like, you know, minimal communication, you move out, you say no expectancy, no expectations, no dependency. No, if I need you and I can't call you, why am I dealing with you? Like, you're my husband. You know, I don't see that working. I just don't see that working. You know, I think they've already decided they don't want to be together. And even with this, to save face and to, you know, their families probably love each other, you know, so that it doesn't look so bad, let's give it this time frame and try to work out whatever we need to work out. They're still wanting to date their college sweethearts, you know, or whoever, like the college people that they dealt with. Let's be real, you know, they need to be honest and with each other.
Okay. Mr. A, Ms. Cross, we're going to stand by, then we're going to go to South Florida 305-769, but give us a moment. Mr. A, let's bring you back in here and just briefly ask you, I mean, if they do get back together, let's say if they decide down the road to get back together, do you really think that they could really let go of the past and dating other people? Could they let go of that if they've had some super good relationships and it broke up? Could they let go of that past?
Again, I think it goes to the individual and how mature their relationship and how strong it is. But I think your guest host hit it on the head. We're humans, and the first thing that reminds them of that negativity, oh boy.
Right.
Here we go.
Right.
So I know
exactly.
It's tough. I mean, we're human. We are frail. We're not perfect. So it's just a hard call to make.
It is. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to South Florida, 305-769. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Work Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us? 305-769. Who do we have with us? All right, we'll come back to that one in a moment. All right, James, let's bring you back in here now and ask. There's some comments that will come into the studio. And I would like you to start out by taking along this this first comment. This part he says, could you be lonely and miserable but pretending otherwise? She says, the short answer to this question is, in my opinion, is yes. I was lonely and miserable in a dead-end marriage for over 17 years, and I pretended that everything was okay until one day I could not take it anymore. It does not pay to pretend. James, is she on point? Why it took her 17 years to realize that? In your opinion,
it's like I said in the beginning, you can only pretend for so long. It's like some people's pain level is low, some people's pain level is high. He's one of those people where he was able to take a whole lot for a long period of time, and you have those people where they can just, you know, go through it and be like an ostrich and, you know, stick their head in the sand for a long time. But there are other people who don't have that, and it's going to show right away. I mean, there are people who say, well, you know, I don't like you and you don't like me, but we're going to wait till our kids are 18 and then we're going to leave. 30 years, you hear about them after 30 years, they get divorced, and it shocks everybody. It's just some people are able to go through that longer than other people.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing is also that people, for whatever reason, when they, I mean, they're in this and they see the red flags and they are dealing with those red flags in their own way. And after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, this is just my opinion. If you're having those same issues for 5 years, you're going to have those same issues for 50 years, unless parties are changing. And then because we are developing, you don't know right now the way that you're thinking in your 20s. You don't think necessarily in your 30s or 40s. And in your 30s, you begin to change the way you think in your 40s and 50s and so forth and so on. So it becomes, you're right, it becomes different. So it's interesting if you can just kind of grow together. And you got to, in order to do that, you got to nurture relationships. Ms. Cross, how important is it, and I'm going to give you the next comment, how important is it to nurture your relationship from the go? I mean, could they have really made this thing work? I mean, they were there first in everything. They broke their virginities together. They were the first in everything, but it didn't guarantee the chemistry or the compatibility. But could they have really, would they have that pretending, would they be just forcing it?
Well, the thing is, they actually do have it sounds like a actually healthy relationship, but it's more of a friendship. It's more of a relationship,
right,
of trust and respect, and, you know, they've decided to be honest with each other. So, you know, I think they have a relationship. It's just not a that relationship in terms of them being married, that's just not what, you know, it's, the compatibility is just not there. And I think that it's not, it's okay. It's okay if they don't, if they don't, they're not supposed to, they're not destined to be together. Like that doesn't make that, it doesn't make it a bad thing. It doesn't make either one of them wrong. But I know one of the callers were saying, you know, with life, you know, I remember reading something like you get one shot at life, right? So to be in a situation and not be happy is not healthy. It's not healthy. And, you know, sometimes people break up and they become the best of friends. They give each other the best advice. They, you know, talk about their new relationships. And I think that's okay, too. I think it's okay if a relationship doesn't work out. It doesn't mean that anyone was wrong, even though someone could have been wrong, you know. But that doesn't mean you have to hate each other. That doesn't mean you have to be bitter feelings. It's, you know, I think it's such a powerful situation when you can come together and say, listen, we are not meant to be. Do you agree? Yeah, I agree. You know, that says a lot. When everybody's on the same page, you move forward, you still have respect for each other, that says a lot. Does that always happen? Not really. But I think it's a, I think it's an amazing thing when it does. And I think this is what this couple has come to.
Okay, Ms. Cross, we certainly appreciate that thought on you. And I want to bring Sister Claudia back in here and ask her. If you all want to contribute to the conversation tonight, press 1 on your dial. We will entertain your thoughts. Sister Claudia, I mean, you break up. Here's a situation where they break up or mutually agree to separate. But how likely is it that you break up with your significant other that you want to hear about his dating somebody else? Are you eager to hear that?
Only if I didn't care for him at all.
So you mean if there was an ounce of care in there, you don't want to hear
about, exactly. If I care, I don't want to hear about the loose life you're living over there.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really don't, because it's going to hurt me if I care. But if I don't care, then by all means, tell me about the new chick that you're dating now. How's it going?
So, Sister Claudia, so we sent, we hear that if that was the case, if you care, there might be a degree of jealousy in there and the pain, understandably so. So are you saying then that, you know, you're thinking that this person, oh, they're having more fun with her or vice versa than they had with you? So if that might be the fact of the matter, is, let's just say if that were the case, how would you handle something like that? How would you?
Okay, I'm going to give you from two perspectives. From a Christian moral perspective and a normal people perspective, the way people look at life.
All right.
I am a child of God, I'm a daughter of the Most High King, so of course I would not make such an arrangement with my other half.
Right.
If you decided that you need a break and you need a break for a year and you need to be dating other people, then ta-ta, by all means, go ahead. And I wish you all the best. But when you're done being used up, don't think you're coming back. And then I'll have a talk with my God, because I said, God, this is not what you desire for me.
Amen.
You're not desiring for a man to walk out on me and go drop it like it hot all over the place and then come back home to mama. It doesn't work like that. So, from a Christian's perspective, it's just, you know, it's just
it's not biblical.
No child of God who reads the Bible makes such an arrangement. You know,
but there's also, Sister Clark, there's also such forgiveness where, you know, you missed him, and he says, you know what, and this role-playing here, he says, you know, baby, I realize after being gone these 2 or 3 years or even that year that there is no other woman on the planet for me but you. I've realized my state. Can you just find in your heart to give me, and you will be my queen from here on out. Come on, Sister Claudia, come on.
Okay, well, this is different. The only way, and I've known people whose relationship, they've been separated for even more than 3 years, And the man came back, and that's what he said. And they're together today doing well. But that only happens when they naturally separate, not when they sit down like two conscious, intelligent individuals and say, okay, we're not getting along. We don't even like each other. So we're going to split up for a year, date other people that we know from college or in our lifetime. And then if it, then we see how it works out 1 year later. That's how the world do things. That's not how the children of God does things. So, yes, a lot of Christian marriages have been broken or they've been separated, but they come back together as God would have them come back together. So now I'm going to answer you from a worldly perspective. Because
okay, but quickly, though, please, we got a number of people waiting.
Only people who are not, who just does not see God in their marriage equation would handle something like this. And overall, it is just crazy. And if they, if someone worldly could see forgiveness in all of that after the other person is done being out there doing whatever, then I say hats off to them. But it wouldn't work for me either ways.
I have a question. So because I know that with the person that was separated for 3 years and then came back, I'm almost, and I don't want to say 100%, but it sounds like they may not have had that verbal agreement, but the actions probably were the same, you know. And I think that sometimes, because I remember going to church and, you know, from a Christian standpoint, you know, you have your marriage, you're taught indirectly that divorce is not really an option or shouldn't really be an option, you know. So I definitely get that. I remember hearing a sermon and the pastor said something that was so significant. And he said, okay, wives, like you are supposed to, you know, be submissive, love your husband, but God didn't put you here to be a doormat. And I remember that having such a significant, you know, it just was so significant because unfortunately when people get into the realm of religion and, you know, you have to have your relationship with God, but we are all children of God. So in that separation period, sometimes even if you, you know, consciously don't make that, have that verbal agreement, something separated you. And usually people, when they're separated, they live like they're single. So even though they may not have been fully expressed to each other, they were living their best life. Well, I'm not going to say both. Sometimes separation, you know, one person decided to separate, the other person wasn't in agreement. So the other person may have been submitting to their vows and still being a, you know, a wife while or for example, I'm not going to say husband or wife, but just for example, she may have still been being a wife, but he was probably living as a single man. And now they come together and they make it work. And, you know, you respect that. But with this couple, even though it doesn't seem as realistic, it's kind of the same thing.
It sure is. It pretty much is. Ms. Cross, we're going to actually stand by. To me, it's the same thing. You're right. Because, you know, we're looking at things and we're saying from a spiritual perspective. And then and Ms. Claudia, Sister Claudia, we're not trying to put words in your mouth, but then you say, we're going to look at it also from a practical perspective. But when in reality, we are human before we take on any role or title, which means we're still subject to those human errors and frailties. All right, let's go to phone lines once again. We're going to give you a chance to respond. Let's go to 786-319. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us and welcome?
Hello, Dr. Jesse, and hello, Ms. Cross. Sister Marjorie. I just want to say I agree with what Ms. Cross is saying and also Sister Claudia, what she was saying. I do agree with that because I think that once someone, if they decided to go their separate way for a year and date other people, to me, it's like it's finished. You know, if they do say to themselves, we want to date other people, I don't think I would like that either. I would not like that situation, you know. So I agree with what both of them were saying, really.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Sister Margie. We've got a number of calls we're going to try to get to. We're down to 8 minutes, you all, and we've got a number of comments that have also come into the studio. Let's go to West Palm Beach or that area, 561-215. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
This is Tamika, and I'm calling from West Palm Beach.
Okay, Miss Tamika.
Tamika, yes.
Okay, thank you for joining us. What are your thoughts?
Thank you. My thoughts, however, on separation kind of differ from a lot of stuff. First, when a man and a woman is getting to know each other, the Bible tells us that we should court before we engage in marriage. I know most times we don't do that, so I'm speaking from a spiritual standpoint. If you're courting with an individual, you see the flaws before you say, I do. Now, let's say we say, I do, and it's not working out. If we intend to do separation to get back together, say for a year or 2 years, in the time that we're going to be separated, we should be doing counseling to fix the marriage, not separation to go out there and flirt and flaunt with others and come back to a matrimonial home. That, you know, that's not spiritual, and that is not Christ-like, and God would not want that for any of us. You know, so that's my standpoint on that. You know, if a man and a woman love each other and they're willing to pour everything into their marriage, they'll do whatever it takes to fix it. If it means separating, it should be separation on the terms of getting to the point where, you know, we're working it out and not working to you know, be apart from each other.
Right.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Kamika, we appreciate you joining us. Let me go to Mr. A with his second comment. We have a number of comments that have come into the studio. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. Let me go to this one now, though. And Ms. A, let's bring you in. And we're going to ask all of you all to come, if you would be so kind, to limit your comments to about 15 seconds or less, because we're down to 6 minutes. Ms. A, this mail, he writes in, he says, could you be happy, could you be lonely and miserable, but pretending otherwise? He says, my wife, what did he say? I have been happily married for 12 years, but little did I know that my wife was not happy until she left me for another man. Now, he was happy for 12 years, but he didn't realize his wife wasn't happy. Now, when I ultimately asked her, why did she leave me for another man, she told me she had been lonely and miserable with me because of my controlling ways and cantankerous spirit towards her, which led her to the arms of finding another man to fall into that treated her with kindness and respect. He says, goes on to say, I wish I could have done things all over again because I'm madly in love with her. Mr. A, let's bring you in here. I mean, could one party be thinking that they're happily married and everything is okay when, like, his wife left him for another guy?
That's definitely possible. I mean, that's all boils down to communication. It seemed like they had a failure to communicate from that standpoint. And they're just missing each other. So he thought everything was cool in the game, and she was like, I'm outie. So,
right.
That's all I got to say on that.
Absolutely. James, let's bring you in. Could one party be happy and thinking that everything is A-okay, and all of a sudden you come home one day and they pack their bags?
It happened to me.
Whoa.
You know, wife number one came home from work one day and she said, have a seat. I got to talk to you. And she said, I'm not happy. And like, I went out of the blue. I just had a baby and everything, and it threw me to the floor. And, you know, the one thing that I would say is that women need to understand that, and men too, that we don't read minds. We can't read each other's minds. So if there's a problem before it gets to that point, like the gentleman just said, you have to talk to each other. We don't read minds. God didn't give us that. So if there's a problem and you don't bring it up to the other individual that you're feeling a certain way and you let it go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, then, you know, I tend to blame you because you didn't give me opportunity to fix the problem. There was no opportunity to go to counseling or to do anything. And that's where my anger was, like, with that. I didn't know. Why didn't you say something? Why did you let me get to this point, like, before you said something?
Wow. Yeah. James, let me ask you, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but did she consider herself a Christian?
Yes, absolutely. Went to church every weekend.
Right. Right. And see, this is my point, and I'm not certainly, I consider myself an aspiring Christian, and I certainly am not bashing people with their beliefs and so forth, but I just believe that we are human first before we adapt or adopt to a title or a label or a belief.
Absolutely.
And I think that as such, we are subject to those frailties and errors and mistakes and flaws that humans make. I've heard many of you all tonight on the program say, we're human. We're only human. You know, so even though we might be Christian, our situation, we might, you know, and this is the sad part, that oftentimes what we might do, we judge from the outside, but then when it hits home, we take a whole different position. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Ms. Foss, let me bring you in just quickly here for this other comment. We are running out of time, you all. I'm so sorry. We're going to spend some of this will go carry into tomorrow night's broadcast, which is going to be, instead of the regular 30 minutes, it'll be 45 minutes. So some of this, you're going to get the spiritual flavor from this tomorrow night's program if you want to join us in. Ms. Foss, this male, he writes in, he says, my wife and I have been married for over 30 years, and neither of us are really happy. 30 years and you're not happy? And that's what James said earlier. And we both are miserable. We have concluded that we are staying in the marriage because our church does not endorse divorce. I don't think we are alone. I think there are so many other people in the churches who are lonely and miserable and only pretending. Ms. Cross, a lot of them are pretending. I believe it was James that said he knows people that have been married for more than 30 years and they're pretending. James, is that what you said earlier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, just to touch on what you were saying earlier, you know, I call it justifying your foolishness. You know, we justify our foolishness, right? Just that came
right
in my brain. But yeah, I think it is so so common that especially you know, people who have been married for umpteen years, you know, I think they take joy in saying I've been married for 30 years, you know, and I always think in the back of my mind how much of that this was happy, you know. And I think that, you know, just like how people get married for different reasons, people stay together for different reasons. And even though they're miserable, they are not, more likely than not, they're not going to get divorced because that just has become a way of life for them, you know.
Right.
So people learn to live in their misery and function in their misery, and that's just real life.
Wow. Wow. How sad. How sad. All right, we're gonna try to squeeze two more in. Oh, we may not be able to. We're gonna try though. This young lady, she says, she says, I used to think it was just me that was unhappy and miserable with the guy I have been dating for the past 5 years, until one day I came home from work and he had moved out of our apartment. He called me later and told me he had been planning this move for some time now and simply waited until his finances were right for him to move out. She says, I feel a bit used, but at the same time, relieved. I'm not even mad at him because at least he had the nerve to take action. It's been 6 months now, and I am much happier without him. Let me go on. Sister Claudia, let's bring you in here. She says, I mean, he waited till his finances were right, and now he's out. 15 seconds or less. What do you think on that, Sister Claudia?
That's a funny one. You know, as you said, we're human, right? And when I said what I said earlier, I don't mean anything except the fact that Christians don't make such an arrangement. You know what I mean? That's all I meant by that.
Right, right.
But yeah, being human first. The people, and as the brother said, lack of communication. And sometimes I have to wonder, is it a selfish thing, or are you so happy in your world that you can't see in your spouse's world, whether male or female, that you don't see that they're unhappy? You know what I mean? So, and just like marriage, when you see all the signs before you get into the marriage and you did not run, you're in this marriage and you see all the signs that this person is unhappy, but you're so in denial that one day they'll walk. And it hits you when they finally go. And I'll stop right there.
Yeah. Right. And I get it. We are clearly out of time. I do appreciate everybody. Ms. Cross, we're going to give you the final word. We got some more comments, and I'll conclude them tomorrow on tomorrow night's broadcast. If you all join us early at 7 o'clock. I'll be able to conclude those along with this story and give you the spiritual take on this. Ms. Ross, let's give you the final word and close us out here. Could a person, you know, kind of recap this, could a person really be lonely, miserable, and miserable, but pretending otherwise? And, yeah, why?
I think most definitely. I remember reading, it's actually from Shakespeare, right, because we learned about Shakespeare in school, and he was saying that something about us, we stage and we have different faces that the world sees, that our family sees, that, you know, our spouse sees. So I definitely believe that people can live a life where, like we said on Facebook, you know, you're all happy on Facebook, and then behind closed doors, you hate each other. I want to believe that it's not so common, but maybe that's just my belief. Like, I don't want to believe that. But maybe in the world that we live in, maybe it is, you know. It's very unfortunate, though, because I just believe that life is so not promised to live a life of unhappiness for millions of years, you know, for 30, 40 years. I just don't see that being healthy at all. It's not healthy at all.
Right. And I agree. And on that note, we are clearly out of time. We've gone over time. The producers are threatening me over here. And let me just say this part. I want to thank all of you all, of course, my co-host, and all of you all that have joined us tonight. We appreciate you. We respect your opinions highly, and we certainly hope that this program is giving you a lot to think about that you may be able to share with others. Please let somebody know, at least each one of you all, reach two people out there, and let them know about this show that comes on, because there's a lot of information that's given over the airwaves here that all of us can benefit from. Listen, join us back here tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational programming, which we're going to give the spiritual take on coping with loneliness and being miserable, and where you don't have to worry about pretending otherwise. So we join us for the spiritual aspect of it from 7 to 7:45 tomorrow. And, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, join us back here live for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show next Thursday. So until next Thursday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Great show. I enjoyed it. God bless you all.
Dr.
Keep
Walker,
safe.
Can you give me a call, please, or send me an email?
Who is this?
Claudia.
Okay. Yes, we will. Thank you.
Thank
good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Great show.